1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. We want to get into the text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, welcome to all this evening, especially again, those that may be visiting with us. If you are a visitor, we want you to know that we're honored by your presence, we're encouraged by your presence, and we're really glad that you're with us again this evening. Looking forward to our groups that will meet after the service tonight in various homes. If you're new to the community, new to the area, and you're looking to connect with the family of God in Christ Jesus and wanting to learn more about the saints, the Christians that meet here, please find me after services tonight, and I will direct you if you would like to go to one of these meetings and be a part of that and be in someone's home and to meet some of the Christians here. Or if you've got questions about some of that, find me or I'll take you to one of our elders. We'd just be glad to talk to you about that. I'm looking forward to other opportunities that we have even at the end of today for us to be together and get to know one another better. Let's get into text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul's writing to these brethren in Thessalonica, and he says in verse 11, comfort one another. And he says in verse 11, edify one another. And he says in verses 12 and 13, with regards to those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, to esteem them highly and love for their work's sake. If you like to think in threes, as I like to think in threes, there are three things here that Paul says that we ought to give. And I believe here at Cedar Park, we have been giving and will continue to give attention to. Encourage, edify, and esteem. Encourage, edify, and esteem. But note verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Those who are living an undisciplined, unruly life, and so their life is out of step with the Word of God. He says they need to be warned in regards to their undisciplined life and admonished. And he speaks about those who are faint of heart, the dispirited, the disheartened, the downcast. Those who for whatever reason are at a point in their life where they're looking on the dark side of life, and as a result of looking on the dark side of life and dwelling on the negatives, it's almost impossible for them to see the positives. And so they're in danger of giving up and giving in. They may imagine difficulties. They may exaggerate the reality of things, but nonetheless, they're at a very vulnerable point in life. Sometimes the faint of heart are those that are lonely. I go home to someone that can listen to me and talk to me. Not everybody is in that situation. They get lonely. They're gripped by doubt. People that are gripped by fear. Those who are timid, have insecurities. Those who are grieving. And their hearts are filled with anxiety. Paul said they need continual encouragement. They need to be comforted, calm their fears, boost their spirits. And then he says, those who are weak, they need help. Those who are spiritually weak need a support structure. They need a support system. And find out where you fit to help those who are weak. You hold fast to the weak, Paul says. You don't let anyone fall. Warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, but be patient with everyone. And I will tell you, the longer that I live, and the more I get into the Word, the more I appreciate the essentiality of saying, be patient with all, when he speaks about three classifications of people who all need attention. And you'll have all classifications at times in the same church. I tell you, sometimes I can appreciate the necessity of those who are faint of heart and those who are spiritually weak. We need to be patient with them and pay attention to them. But what about the unruly and the one living an undisciplined life? You still are to be patient with them. Don't misunderstand, we'll say at the end, that's not ignoring their sin. But even sinners living an undisciplined, unruly life, God gave time and space to repent. And elders using wisdom and servants of the Lord using wisdom look out to the care and the concerns of others in the body to make sure that the one or the few in that body that's living an undisciplined life does not influence someone else to go down that path. But everyone needs and everyone should expect to receive patience. A favorite story of mine, maybe you've heard about it. The farmer who bought two horses at an auction, and he didn't know anything about horses, and he couldn't really tell them apart, so he called his friend who knew a lot about horses to come over and give him a hand. And he said, I cannot tell these two horses apart. Can you help me? So his friend measured the two horses, and he weighed each horse, and he looked at the teeth of each horse. I mean, he just examined each horse up one side and down the other. And finally, he stood back, and he reached up at his face like that, and he said, well, you know, I may be wrong, but it seems to me that the white horse is about 2 inches taller than the black horse. Don't we sometimes miss the obvious? And here's the obvious. We are all sinners saved by grace, and every one of us in Jesus Christ is a work in progress. Be patient with all. You go through the Scriptures and you see passages like Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 where the instruction is given with regards to those who would shepherd the flock of God, elders. And they are not to be quick-tempered. Elders are not to be quick-tempered. And Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 24 and 25 says, the Lord's bondservant, and in that context, it has its first application to those who are ministers and preachers of the gospel. And Paul would say to Timothy, yes, the Lord's bondservant, he must not be quarrelsome, but he's to be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, and with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, still to the evangelist, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. With great patience. Now, question, why does the Lord or the Holy Spirit of God, through inspired writers, make a point so as to emphasize the essentiality of patience in a man who's the preacher of the gospel and in a man or a man who are shepherds over the flock of God? We're dealing with souls. As evangelists, we're trying to bring people into Christ and help them grow up into Christ. That demands patience. Shepherds who are dealing with sheep are dealing with people, and that demands patience. It's hard to influence people so that they trust you and want to follow you if they see you to be a quick-tempered, hot-headed person. So what are we talking about with this idea of patience? Well, we're talking about a long temper, not a short temper. Being forbearing, able to endure offenses and injuries of others, slow and avenging wrong, self-restraint in the face of evil people who say and do evil things. I've emphasized and highlighted slow in avenging, self-restraint, forbearing or enduring. It's being long-tempered. Now, lest you think I'm only highlighting elders and evangelists, all servants of the Lord are expected to exercise patience. Let me give you just a few passages. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see the text about the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So here's this worthy walk. verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Keeping unity and preserving unity will necessitate being patient one with another. Tolerating one another in love. Colossians chapter 3. Notice verses 12 and 13. I like the New International Version here. Colossians 3 beginning in verse 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, Colossians 3 and verse 12, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Patient. Bearing with one another. Forgiving grievances. That requires a patient, a calm spirit, a bearing with one another. And he says, you do this in love. And in fact, verse 14, as it attaches itself to Colossians 3, 12 and 13, says, and over all of these virtues, patience being one of them, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What helps us to be more patient? First of all, getting to know one another better. The more you get to know someone, the more you listen to someone and find out about that someone and try as best you can with that knowledge to walk in their shoes, that only should help us to be more patient. Oh, have you ever had one of those aha, now I get it moments? Where you were quick to judge someone or quick to be short-tempered with someone, and when you got to know them, I can see now why they struggle with this. I can see now why they have days like this. Just like when people get to know me better, you get to see a side of me that perhaps you didn't know existed. So getting to know one another better helps us in exercising the patience that the Scripture says we are to exercise with all. But it's much deeper than that. Ultimately, it's going to come down to the love factor. You see, because I can have perfect knowledge of you. I can get knowledge today and tomorrow and the rest of next week about you that I didn't previously have of you. But still, I must choose to be patient with you. And I must take the facts, and I've known brethren that took the facts and had all the facts, and still, they'd write them off. Lose their cool. And I've done that with people. And ultimately, for me and for you, it's going to come down to putting on love. And I think that's why Paul said, see, this virtue, love, that's the supreme virtue. It binds everything, it holds everything else in perfect harmony. So if you struggle with gentleness and you struggle with humility, it's a love problem. If you struggle with patience, oftentimes it's a love problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, Paul said to the church at Corinth, love is patient. Love is patient. You see, just as we are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us, we are to love as God in Christ has first loved us. One translation says, love suffers long. It says, it's not easily provoked. Love is not easily angered. Barclay says, love never irritably loses its temper. One writer says, love is not touchy. Some people are just touchy. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Some people are just touchy. They just seem to be irritable most all the time. The least little thing sets them off. Least little thing done, least little thing said just sets them off. Get to know them better. There may be a reason behind the little things that wouldn't set you off, sets them off. The thing said to you would not anger you and embitter you, but said to someone else would anger them. Get to know them better. But there's something else. Stop being an irritator. Sometimes I just need to say to me, hey, quit pushing the buttons here. You know that your wife and you know that your children, you know that others are supposed to be patient with you, but you're pushing their buttons. You're a source of irritation. It's almost as if you think that today you get to play the devil in the home. But in the end, it's love that binds us together. But this is a patient love that's a choice, an act of one's will, made in the moment to control the emotion. And that's hard. To endure and remain calm in the face of even provocation. And that's hard. But the Lord says it's an absolute essential. Quickly, being patient will help us be better communicators. Learn to be a better listener. Give someone a fair hearing. Don't be so quick to jump to unjust conclusions. Don't be so quick to reach faulty conclusions. Tired people, stressed out people, tend to be more easily irritated. And I'm not going to re-preach what I talked about this morning. But there is a connection oftentimes between the short-tempered person and the stressed-out person. And there's a time that all of us need to be honest with ourselves and say, I've got to make some changes in me because the least little thing right now is setting me off. And generally, what I do, I don't know about you, is I take it out on the ones that I promise to love the most. And I'm not mad at my wife. I'm angered. I'm irritated at somebody else that cut me off driving home. I'm irritated at someone else that was in front of me in the grocery store and the sign said 10 items or 15 items and they had 30. And it was not her fault, but she inherited my rage. In the words of James, it's being ready to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Tired people tend to be more irritable people. And then finally, patience is not excusing sin. Patience is not ignoring sin. Patience is to have its limit. People have asked me before, what is the limit? I can't answer that for you. I'm being honest, that's not something that's easy to answer. The patience, though, that is going to help us is to look at the patience that God has exercised. I'm not telling you to wait 120 years because you're not going to live to be 120 years. But God, Peter says, in the days of Noah, waited patiently. The Amorites, God knew what the Israelites didn't know. And the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. God waited some 400 years. If God can wait 120 years, can I wait 12 days? If God could wait 400 years, could I wait 4 weeks? And again, my point is to not give you a definite time. My point is for us to appreciate the essentiality of patience, but also understand patience does have its limits. We cannot go too far with people in loving them, but we can go too far with people in being patient when they refuse willfully to acknowledge a change that's needed in life. But again, if the Lord gave people time and space to repent, that's what I'm to do. Multiple chances, encouraging opportunities, warnings and pleadings with much prayer. But the Lord waited patiently, and He suffered long, because His intent in suffering long was the salvation of souls. I want to close with mentioning in Galatians chapter 5. Go back and reread Galatians chapter 5 on your own time. But I want you to note the context of chapter 5 in the overall letter, and the context of verses in chapter 5, like verse 16 that speaks about led by the Spirit, and 18, walked by the Spirit, in the context of him beginning in verse 22 to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. You see, if the Spirit is in me, and I'm being controlled by the Holy Spirit revealed Word of God, guided, led, then it affects my attitude and dispositions with regards to life and others in general. You'll know someone by their fruit. And so when I'm being less than long-suffering, that's not the influence of the Spirit through the Word. Get into the Word. Grow in understanding. Spend time daily in prayer, asking the Lord for help in the arena and in the area of being patient in our homes and in our churches and in our jobs, because we're to be the light of the world and salt of the earth. If you're here tonight and you're not in Christ, we don't want to close out the service without extending the Lord's invitation. Through the Word, you're invited and you're encouraged to come to Christ for the salvation of your soul. All spiritual provisions have been made ready, and God has suffered and waited long because He wants you to be saved of your sins and come into a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. But only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can save. Come to Him tonight, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being immersed in water, baptized to have your sins washed away. If you've fallen from grace, if there's sin in your life, turn from it, repent, and ask the Lord to forgive you. If we can help you spiritually in a way that is public, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?